welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Lincoln Blue Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Lincoln head coach Moses Harper.
All right, Coach, we'll just bounce him back to last week. It was another productive drive for you guys to start out the game. You guys get deep in the opponent's territory and then a missed field goal follows, and then by the time you guys made it down there again, Truman State had kind of ran it up on you guys a little bit, and the gap was much wider. So just kind of looking back at that, just kind of how big was that missed opportunity early on?
Well, it's huge because that's a chance to get some points. You know, anytime you got a chance to get some points and you're on the road to try to cap off a drive, this is not a team that you don't want to not get points against. And for us, we got to try to get every point we can when we get an opportunity to. So we kind of got down there and missed a wide open guy. Ball got away from us a little bit. Isaiah was trying to throw it as he had a D lineman in his face. If he had maybe one more second, we probably capitalize on that drive. But, you know, you always want to end with points when you're on the road facing a team because you never know what it swings the momentum of the game. Plus, that drive was coming after we fumbled the opening kickoff. So you fumble that opening kickoff, and then you go down and you punch one in or get some points, maybe kind of erase the bad mojo you have there. But to not get points and give them the ball back, they drive down and score. Now you're looking at the scoreboard again, and you're already down 14-0. You're just now starting the game.
Gotcha. And then, yeah, just moving into the game this week against Lane, it looks like a game that you guys should be pretty competitive in. So just kind of how excited is the team headed into this one?
Well, I think the energy has been good all year, you know, and that goes to show you the youth of your football team, because all the kids just want to do is play football. But we're looking for a total three-phase win game here. We got to go out and compete all three phases of the game. Defense, we've got to tighten up on some things defensively. Offense is kind of trying to start making some strides and doing some things when it comes to yardage. But now we got to turn those yards into points. And if we can turn these yards into some points and get a few stops, and then our kicking game continue to flourish like it's been all year, and we got to be able to start taking care of the ball on kick return, punt return, and not make any mistakes there. And I think if we do those things, we can play win all three phases of the game. I think we'll like where we're sitting when the fourth quarter starts.
Yeah, and looking at their offense, it seems like they have a similar identity of what you guys have. It seems like they're kind of a run-first team, and they've been kind of expanding on their passing game a little bit with two quarterbacks. But just kind of what do you know about this offense?
Well, the thing, they play two quarterbacks, and those guys have similar passing yardage, you know, and they actually got a guy on a roster we haven't seen play who we thought was pretty solid. He actually took a visit here. But we took Isaiah over him, and he's number three for them. But playing two quarterbacks goes to show you throughout the year they've been trying to find their trigger man as well. Unlike us, we feel comfortable with Tate, and we let him kind of take his lumps as he take them, and we continue to grow with him. They got two running backs in the backfield who can get some things done. I think they're both over 500 yards rushing, so they will hand the ball off and throw it. But they got a couple receivers who are really dynamic. We've seen them open up some games and take some home from 70 yards to 80 yards, and they're dynamic on special teams as well. So we got a game plan on how to kick the ball away from those guys and how to try to neutralize those guys when they get the ball in their hands on offense.
Yeah, and just scheme wise defensively, what are you looking at for them?
They'll be four down. The backers are pretty aggressive. When they see the quarterback turn his back to hand the ball off, they're downhill. You know, they like to play with a two-high safety deal. One of their linebackers lead the conference in tackles. To be honest, when I watched him, he's missed a lot. But then when I went and looked at the stats, he's leading the conference. So that means he does know how to get them down on a few. They got a couple D linemen that raise their eyebrow. One kid has like 7 sacks on a year, 7.5 sacks to be honest, on a year. So they got a couple kids up front that you better respect, or they can make the game long for you. And the linebacker core got one guy leading the conference in tackles, and got some corners who are pretty handsy. So we're gonna try to take that advantage of them in some one-on-one situations, see if we can kind of get some PIs if we don't make the play. But those guys are pretty handsy, like to hold a little bit.
All righty. Thanks, Coach.
All right. That was Lincoln head coach Moses Harper. Trevor, I don't think that we thought that Lincoln had a very legitimate chance of winning last week at Truman State. It turns out they had zero chance of winning last week at Truman State. Got just one score and lost 52-7, and that one score came just shortly before halftime. So really not a whole lot to celebrate for the Blue Tigers last week.
So, yeah, and it was another case of them kind of shooting themselves in the foot early on. They fumbled the opening kickoff. We just heard Moses Harper talk about that.
Yeah.
And after they fumble the football and give up a touchdown, go down 7-0, they actually put together a productive 11-play drive, get pretty deep into Truman State territory, and then Moa Whaley misses a 41-yard field goal. And then by the time that they got that deep into Truman State territory again, it was already 35-0.
Right.
And then that's the touchdown that you mentioned on a pass to Tobias Williams. So, yeah, they had two key mistakes early on that kind of allowed Truman State to run away with the game. Not
right.
saying the defense did much to slow them down, but they had a chance to at least kind of halt the momentum early on, and then by the time they were able to kind of find their footing, the game was basically over.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the defense. I think we got to start there with the fact that, you know, Lincoln gets out game 560-206. You're not gonna win any games when you give up 560 yards of offense. So I think, you know, at some point, yes, the offense is not helping you maybe by sustaining drives and keeping you off the field, but the defense at some point has got to get stops, and they just didn't get hardly any stops last week.
Yeah, and the defense was showing some really good signs of progress mm-hmm. early on in the season. The numbers weren't necessarily great in the sense of yardage, but they were, especially early on in the season, able to kind of hunker down in the red zone
right.
and really hold teams to field goals or even turnover on downs every now and then. And that, it was kind of, the signs were there that something like this might be coming because they were doing that bend but don't break kind of mentality.
Right.
But the last few weeks, it's real, the floodgates have kind of opened on
yeah.
the Lincoln defense. So I think it's kind of a confidence issue at this point.
Okay.
And it really doesn't help when you give up a 3-play touchdown drive with a short field after a fumbled kickoff
right.
in the opening possession. And it all goes back to a team that has not experienced much winning.
Yeah.
And having that confidence taken away early in games the way it has the last few weeks has kind of just allowed the floodgates to open, like I said. And they're really trending in the wrong direction right now, and I'm sure they're really wanting to get back on track this week.
And it wasn't like you could pinpoint one thing and go, okay, we weren't able to do this, but we were able to do this, because if you look at the numbers, they gave up 305 yards passing and 255 yards rushing. So it's not like, hey, we stopped the run and made him pass, or we stopped the pass and we made him run. They didn't do either.
Yeah, and it was a hungry Truman State team coming off of a loss
sure.
the week prior, so I'm sure that did not help. But and it's a good Truman State team.
Sure.
Can't take that away from them either. But yeah, it's not been a good development for the Lincoln defense in the last few weeks, and it really started with that Northeastern State game. They went into that game with what felt like a lot of confidence and some pretty good results in recent weeks, and they kind of looked at that Northeastern State team as beatable, I guess
right.
is what I'll say, and then they allow 50 plus points in that, and it's been kind of downhill from there.
Yeah, could have even been worse, because I was listening to most of the game, and I know at the end, you know, Truman had a couple drives that kind of stalled at the end, thought they might get field goals out of them, miss some field goals. So I mean, the total could have been even a little bit more scary than it already was. And it sounded like, just from listening to the broadcast, you know, not only did Truman bring in plenty of reserves, but they also brought in plenty of those reserves that we talked about last week, where there were a lot of kids where the broadcast was mentioning, oh, this kid's from so-and-so, and this kid's from so-and-so, and they were all kind of Central Missouri kids who, some of them contributed early to the victory, and then those kids that were coming off the bench were also some more of those kids that maybe haven't had a chance to play a lot. But there was a lot of mid-Missouri names getting mentioned during the broadcast last week.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool to see stuff like that. Obviously, Dylan Harris starting at quarterback, and you have Jake Closter, I believe, is the older one that's
mm-hmm.
starting in the secondary. And then you fast forward to the second half, and you see names like Logan Montoya that was a really good player at Helias
mm-hmm.
last year. And just the list goes on and on and on for them, because like we mentioned last week on the podcast, they have 20 Mid-Missouri kids.
Right.
One of them is Vinny Calvaruso, kicking field goals for him, another Helias kid. So it's kind of cool to see the mashup of the high school world that we cover and the college teams that we cover kind of blending together.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's a positive for us, at least on the media side.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess we'll just put that one to bed. There is one more GLVC coming up, not this week, but and in the future. So at this point, Lincoln's 1-8. 0-7 in the GLVC. They'll get one more crack at maybe a conference win in 2 weeks.
Against the top team in the conference.
Which is not a great crack at that, doing that, but it's a chance. So this week, we'll step out of conference play. It's against another HBCU. They'll be playing today at noon against the Lane College Dragons at Dwight T. Reed. It's Military and First Responders Day, so that'll maybe help add some, you know, numbers to the crowd today. But I think it's one of those games where you look at it maybe at the beginning of the year and go, okay, that might be a chance to maybe steal a victory. But Lane comes in at 3-6, so it's not exactly like they're just going to be an easy target today.
Yeah, it's not like Lane is a bad football team by any stretch of the imagination, and they're honestly playing some of their best football of the season right now. They've won two out of their past three games. They had a little mini two-game win streak headed into a 37-23 loss last week against Edward Waters. But that
came after five straight losses, so they were able to kind of finally stop that, get a couple of victories, and then lost again last week. But yeah, I think they're, like you say, I think they're playing better than they definitely were during that five-game skid.
Yeah, we'll get into some of the reasons why. They haven't really settled on a quarterback, and there's a lot of issues behind the scene of them trying to find their identity, but it seems like of late they are really starting to kind of find their footing and play some good football.
Right. So let's get into that. I mean, you mentioned that's always something where you look at it when you're scouting a team, and if you go, hey, it looks like there might be not maybe necessarily quarterback controversy, but you might not have settled on it. It's the old adage, if you've got two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback. So has Lane maybe figured out, or have, in these last couple weeks where they have been playing better, does it look like they've maybe more settled on one guy, or is it just that they're playing better playing two guys at quarterback?
The way I phrased the question to Coach Harper is like, is there a rhyme or reason on how they're using these guys that you guys have figured out? Because I couldn't find one.
Right.
It seems like they just kind of go with the hot hand approach.
Okay.
It seems like Nigel Johnson has started a majority of the games. He's had the most playing time. But if he's not playing well, or Jarrett Gatson, the other one, if he gets a start and he's not playing well, they have shown that they are not afraid to go to the bench.
Right.
And so they've done it in, I think, every game but one so far this year. They've played both of them.
Yeah.
And I believe that one would have been 3 weeks ago against Central State. I'd have to go back and look on that to be sure. But, yeah, it does not seem like there's – it's not like the situations we've seen in the past where you have one that's more of a rushing threat that comes in like red zone packages. It's kind of a hot hand approach. So they're planning on seeing both, and they more than likely will see both.
Yeah. It's, and I think it's worth noting that it hasn't necessarily slowed down their offense production-wise, because really if you look at it, you know, just glancing at the schedule, the funny thing about Lane this year is they're, besides, you know, losing 58-7 to Jackson State in their opener, that was the only kind of blowout. And then the rest of them have been pretty close games, and they've been scoring in the, you know, high 20s, low 30s for most of them. Because if you look at it, it's like, okay, they have a 32-27 win, 42-32 loss, you know, 38-28 loss, 24-20 loss. So there's a whole bunch of those where they're kind of constantly, they're about a four touchdown, you know, a game team. And it doesn't look like they've had problems scoring. Even like I say, you sometimes wonder with teams that are doing that, you go, okay, this could be a bad thing where you might see some zeros on there, or you might see some real low numbers. Looks like they've been kind of able to overcome that. So I guess the Blue Tigers better be prepared for whoever plays today, because it doesn't seem like it's hurt their offensive production.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that opener, 58-7 loss at Jackson State, that's a top 25 program in the FCS.
Right.
That's kind of to be expected. And then the only other time they've scored less than 20 points is a 27-17 loss.
Yeah.
So, and even in that game, they're still in that game.
Right.
So the offense has been able to keep them in games all year long. And it really took until this recent stretch for them to finally get over the hump and win those games.
Yeah.
But the offense is definitely not the issue.
Right.
They have two running backs and Ike Brown and Kylan Duhay, I think is how it's pronounced. Okay. They both have over 550 rushing yards.
Okay.
They have two receivers in Anthony Evelyn and Carl Pitts that are really big play threats.
Okay.
They both have touchdowns of over 70 yards or 65 yards, I think, so far this season. So they're able to kind of take the top off defenses, and they really like to run the football and kind of wear you down with those two running backs. So it's been a successful unit, and I would not point to the 3-6 record and say the offense is the issue.
Right. So let's talk about their defense then, because I mean, they've been in close games, but there are some pretty big numbers that they've given up. Is there something that maybe Lincoln can try to exploit today that they've seen where they go, okay, if we're going to have success keeping this game close, here's where we can do it.
So it looks like they're looking at the secondary, and it's been kind of that. Goes right along with the progression of Isaiah Tate and the Lincoln passing attack. Because one positive from last week, Isaiah Tate goes 20 of 28.
Right.
The box score says 18 of 26, and it has two pass attempts for Jarice Howard.
Okay.
Those didn't happen. That's where Isaiah Tate throwing the football.
Okay.
So he is... He's had good passing days in the past, but without efficiency, and it's now 2 weeks in a row he's been efficient throwing the football. So they're really expanding with a freshman quarterback, and they're looking at a secondary of Lane that they called Hansy. They have a lot of holding penalties, and they're going to be kind of an in-your-face press-style defense.
Okay.
And Lincoln's looking at that and hoping to have that identity of establish the run and then be able to beat you over the top, because they've shown that ability in recent weeks, and they really think that that's a matchup that they can exploit this week.
The other thing that I think stands out when you look at their schedule is the fact that this is their last game of the year for Lane, whereas it's Lincoln's got one more to go. So I think that might even make Lane even a little more dangerous today. It's just the fact that they've got, you know, one last chance to get a win this year, you know, one last chance for players to, you know, impress their coaches. We might see some guys who haven't seen a ton of time because maybe they're auditioning for next year, and they might be hungrier than some of the guys that have been playing this year. So I think it all kind of points to Lincoln better be ready to kind of come out fast in this one, I think, because you can't kind of just, you know, ease your way into this one. I think Lane's going to be ready to go in its final game of the year.
Yeah, no, I mean, that has to be the emphasis for Lincoln every week at this point, because they have brutally struggled in the early stretches of games in the last month or so, and they've really taken themselves out of games in the first quarter. And against an offense like that we mentioned can put up points, if Lincoln's offense doesn't come out and produce early, and Lincoln's defense doesn't produce early, this is another contest that could get away from them early. So it's definitely a hungry team on both sides, because we kind of already mentioned Lincoln's traveling to UND next week, and they're the best team in the GLVC. So you can't be looking at that and expecting to win.
Sure.
So if you're wanting to get another win this season, this is obviously your best chance.
Yeah. These are two schools that have plenty of history. I mean, it's not the biggest number of games, but they have played as long ago as they started the series. The first meeting was back in 1931. You know, they haven't met for a couple years. Their most recent meeting was September 1st in 2018. Lincoln did win that one 10-7.
They won two straight.
Yeah, I was going to say. And they lead the all-time series 10-6. So it is one of those things where you go, okay, history might be on their side. But again, this is, you know, every year adds to history, and this year's a different year than some of these others. So it'll be interesting to see just if they can kind of win the third straight in the series and keep that edge in this. But I do feel like that, you know, again, we've talked about it. This is a game you can't afford to go, we're going to win this one. You can think we can win this one.
Bingo.
But you better not come in expecting to do anything. You better just prove it on the field.
Yeah, and I mean, it should have had this in the podcast clip portion with Coach Harper. That is my bad. But it is a battle of two HBCU schools.
Sure.
And that is something that was one of the biggest selling points when they did move to the GLVC. They get two non-conference opportunities a season, and they really wanted to schedule these type of games with other HBCUs.
Sure.
And like you mentioned, there's a long history.
Right.
As in terms of years, there isn't that many games, but they're really wanting this to turn into a rivalry that they play every season. In the future, they're eyeing possibly moving this back to a neutral site. The last game in 2018 was a neutral site. So they want this to become a quote-unquote classic, like you see with a lot of HBCU schools, where you play every season. Most of the time it's neutral site. You have some sort of trophy or reward at the end of it that kind of incentivizes. So this is something that Lincoln has looked forward to to for a long time with moving to the GLBC. So that's a really cool thing that they're looking forward to. And we'll kind of see if they're, these two sides are able to kind of accomplish that goal of making this a rivalry. Because it's hard to call it a rivalry when they've only played 17. This was the 17th time, I believe, in the past almost 100 years. So it's a weird kind of thing where it's a long-standing thing that's almost kind of a Cold War thing. We'll see how this progresses in years to come.
All right, I guess I'll just ask you flat out, does Lincoln get its second win of the season today?
I haven't given much thought to that, surprisingly.
Okay.
Unsurprisingly, if you actually do follow along with these podcasts. I'm going to pick Lane to win this one. They are playing the better football as of right now. But like you mentioned, this is definitely a winnable opportunity for Lincoln. If they come out and play well, they can win. So I'll pick the Dragons to win. Let's go 35-21.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's Trev Hahn3. Thanks for listening.